Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet here as a body, as a group, in Christ and around your word, together to encourage one another and to spur one another on and to build one another up. Please be with us all as we listen to and think about your word. Please teach us of yourself. Please help us to understand who we are and the realm in which we live. And Father, give us the grace to change, to make the changes in our lives that are necessary that we might live to you and your glory in all things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. What realm do you exist in? Facebook or Instagram? What was the other one you told me? Oh, the other one Digger told me. Sauce in the refrigerator or in the cupboard? Hands up the refrigerator people. Yeah, see, I think there's a might be an age demographic in some of that. See, all my other ones, most of my other ones are all old people type ones. Audi shopper or Coles Woolies shopper? Who cares? All right, yeah. Cash or credit? I just all use credit, do we? No, I don't know. Cards. Anyway. Friends, Romans is a book about realms. Which realm are you in? Romans starts, or one of the big points at the start of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The gospel is the power of God for salvation because we need salvation. There's a problem going on. And in the next chapters, in the end of chapter 1 and 2 and chapter 3, he outlines this problem that for all humanity, we're in this realm. We're in the realm of Adam, the realm of sin and death. We all alike are in this realm. And we're in need of salvation. And when you get to chapter 3, verse 22, it says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ has appeared for all who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all in this realm by nature. But in Jesus Christ, we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. So there's two realms. The realm of Adam, of sin and death, and there's a realm of Christ, of grace, of life and righteousness. And everyone is in one or the other. By nature we're in the realm of Adam, of sin and death. But through faith in Christ, we can be united with him and brought into this other realm. And when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus, Romans 5 says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, you move across. You're transferred into his realm. Of course, the struggle we find is, in this world, those two realms overlap. And though we may be Christ, we still feel the effects and we struggle with the realm of sin. We're caught in the overlap. But what we're going to, one of the great promises, the hope of the glory to come is, that realm of Adam will be done away with. And those who are in Christ will be raised with him, will be with him in perfection, free from the influence and the impact of sin and death and the realm of Adam. So which realm are you in? The realm of Adam or the realm of Christ? By faith, Christians are united with Jesus. We are right with God. And as we get to chapter 6, Paul turns and starts to ask some questions. Well, if that's the case, if we've been transferred into the kingdom of Christ, what does that then mean for life? Do we go on sinning so that God can show his amazing grace all the more? Because it was when we were sinners that Christ died for us. And because of sin increasing, grace abounds all the more. So if we just keep sinning, God will get more glory, won't he? One old poet wrote, "I like committing crimes. God likes forgiving them. Really, the world is most admirably arranged." Isn't it great that I like crimes, God likes forgiving them? Paul says, in answer to can we keep on sinning so that God's grace may abound more and more, he says, by no means. Now, the one time I can do a nerdy Greek thing, because it's the only phrase I remember in Greek, meganoito, by no means. And the words of Phil Gould, no, 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 no. Right? Tell them they're dreaming. No. You can't just go on sinning. Christians have a new life in Christ. Christians live in a new dominion with a new Lord. Christians have a new life. They start afresh. They start afresh in a new dominion, a new realm, a new place. And they have a new Lord, a new boss, a new person in charge. That's where we're heading. That's where this passage takes us. So the first point, Christians have a new life. Verse 2, how can we who died to sin still live in it? There's a change. How ridiculous to think that entering a new realm, you carry on as if you were still in the old realm. Christians have died to sin. That was the old realm, sin and death and Adam. But we've been united with Christ by faith. United with him in his death. We'll also be united with him in his resurrection. And so we go forward living new lives. Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Right, that last slide, if we've been united with him, know that that will come. That the realm of sin and Adam will be totally done away with, and we will be with Christ. And Paul's saying, when you were baptized into Christ, you died with him. Right? By baptism, he means when you were converted. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, that change of realms took place. At that time, you died. You go, well, no, I'm still here. Ah, it's still me. I'm not dead yet. No, you didn't physically die. You died to sin. You were delivered from the power of sin over you and your life. Right? By God's act in Christ, we were delivered from sin's power. Delivered from that realm to live a new life. Dying with Christ and living to him and for him in all things. Now, of course, that's the tension that we now live in, though. Right? We've been transferred into the realm of Christ. We are already in that realm. But this has not yet come. Right? Sin still continues to impact our world. Right? But in this new life, we've got to remember, first of all, what God has done. Right? Jesus died as our substitute. He died instead of us. When he died, we were united with him by faith, so that when we became Christians, we died in the sense of that transfer took place. And we had the future resurrection. This slide here, that is ours. The old realm and all its effects will be done away with. And as Jesus was raised, we'll be raised. What God has done and will do. And is it God's intention while we live in this age is that we would live a new life following Christ, trusting him, walking in newness of life, with the full expectation of sharing in the renewal of all things. Now, the question's a good one to ask, right? If Jesus has so died for us that all our sin has been paid for, all our sin in the past, all the sin we will commit in the future, why shouldn't we just go on and do what we like? Right? There's a temptation to abuse that. But the nature of grace is that it leads to righteousness. Right? He's died to set us free from that way of life. Now, sin will remain, but it no longer reigns in our life. That's the change that takes place. We're in a different king, a different Lord. Right? Living in sin cannot be a constant condition, a habitual practice. We can't be content to just go on sinning and go on committing sins over and over and over again. Sin will always remain a real threat until the day of Christ's return and the resurrection. That will be when the complete victory comes. But Jesus' death to sin is our death to sin. Jesus' resurrection to new life will be our resurrection to new life in the future. And it enables us to walk in that new life right now as we live today. And as Paul moves on into verses 6 to 11, he stretches out his thinking to show us that this new life is part of a life in a new dominion. For in Christ we've been released from sin, and so we shouldn't go on serving sin. That was the old realm. This is the new realm. So verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Our old self, which was trapped in sin, which was destined to condemnation, destined to bear the wrath of God for our sin, well, through union with Christ, that person, that self, is put to death. And by God's action, the crucifixion of Christ, we, by faith, are placed in a new position. The old self, the one living in the realm of sin, it's crucified. You were in Adam. The new self, by faith, is the one living in the realm of Christ. You have life. You are now in him. It's really important to realize which realm you are in. One writer, John Stott, wrote, "What was crucified with Christ was not a part of me, called my old nature, but the whole of me. The whole of me was put to death. As I was before I was converted. I put that to death. I start completely new." Right? What we were in Adam is no more. Please hear me clearly. Until heaven, the temptation to live in Adam, to live in sin, it will remain. But when you become a Christian, we should no longer serve sin, no longer serve that realm. That way of life is over. Sam and I moved houses a lot, right? If I got up out of bed now, living in our house, and I walked out of the bedroom, and I turned left, and then I turned right to go to the toilet in the middle of the night, because when you get older you have to do this more often, I'd be going to the toilet in the second bedroom of the house. Because when we're in the old house, I'd have been in the toilet. When you go from one realm to another realm, which is exactly what Jim is talking about in a much better illustration with the refugees, you've got to change your ways. Right? It's obvious, isn't it? But it's a struggle, because the old ways, can I assure you I haven't had that problem at home of making that mistake, but the old ways want to creep back in, and you want to go back and grab at those. But the point in these verses is if you've turn to Christ in faith, you are in a new dominion, a new realm, with a new master. So don't keep going back to the old ways. Don't go back to the old realm. Don't continue on living in rebellion against God. Our death with Christ is to free us from that, to free us from the penalty of sin. We've been justified. We are free to live a new life in Christ Jesus. And we live that life knowing, verse 8, that we will live with him. It's the not yet, it's that finished part of the diagram. Jesus died for sins once for all time. He won't die again. He conquered the realm of sin and death. The penalty is totally paid, and he reigns as he lives to God. And so, as the people who are united with him, we ought to see ourselves as transferred. Right? Consider yourself in light of what has happened, of what Christ has done. Consider yourself knowing what is going to take place in the future, of that future resurrection hope. So where are we in the present? Christians are dead to the dominion of sin and alive to the dominion of Christ, a new life in a new dominion. And point 3, under or with a new Lord. Right, now, up until this point, up until sort of the end of verse 11, Paul's been stating facts, essentially. This is what has happened. This is what you were. This is what you will be. This is what will take place. And now in the sort of last verses, 12 to 14, Paul challenges us to be, to do. And so far we've considered which realm we're in. And in these last verses he says, if you're a Christian, this is the impact it ought to have as we live now. We've moved from one realm to another, and we're to make a conscious effort to wage a constant battle against sin while we wait for our resurrection as we live under our new Lord, the Lord Jesus. So verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Don't present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Don't let sin reign. Right? When we lived in the realm of sin and death, we were willful rebels against God. We were given over by God to more and more sinful acts, Romans 1. We were under God's wrath. We were under God's condemnation. We had no hope. Now we've been transferred to a new realm by faith in Jesus, dead to sin, to be raised with him. So who's going to dictate your lifestyle? The master of the old realm? Or the Lord of the new? So when you turn to Christ, when you are reconciled to God, you've been set free from that reign, from that dominion, from that life, from that ruler. And you've come under the rule of Christ. And so we fight. Right? Because what's the nature? That's the world we live in. Right? We're caught in the two. So we're going to fight. And we're going to keep exploring that in coming weeks. But we need to make it our practice never to let sin hold sway over our lives. Right, sin's reign will be wanting to suck us into obeying the body's sinful passions. I'm going to get even with them. I'm going to run them down. No, I'm holding a grudge. I'm not happy with that, and I'm not going to let them off. No, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to run them down. I'm going to continue to run them down. I'm going to use my tongue to deceive and get my own way. I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to continue in the arrogance of I know what is right and best. Don't let anyone else tell me what they think or what I should do. To satisfy loneliness or sadness or depression, I'm going to escape to pornography and to fantasizing. To make myself feel better, I'm going to do a bit more shopping and do some retail therapy. I'm going to use my tongue to puff myself up and run others down. They're using the instruments of our body to fuel sinful passions. We've got to put them off. Now, that instruments is a weapon word, right? Use the weapons that God has given you, the gifts, the abilities, the resources, the person that you are. Use them to serve Christ and His kingdom. Use them to fuel His kingdom, to fight for His kingdom, to fight against the kingdom of sin and death. Don't let them suck you back in to that world. Now, can I say, I am under no illusion that we can control all these passions, that we can somehow get to a point that we will be without sin. It'll only come on that day, that resurrection day. But each day a spiritual battle is waged. And it's waged every day in the daily battle of how we use our body, how we use the weapon, the instruments that God has given us. Are you going to offer yourselves to our new Lord? Are you going to offer ourselves to God, the one who we've put our faith and trust in? Our new master who's brought us from death to life? Are we going to use our bodies and minds to serve Him? Or are we going to let ourselves be sucked back into the way of the realm of sin and death and Adam? Now, one of the dangers as we hear these things is it can get a bit like if someone's drowning, you say, "It's all right, just swim to the shore and you'll be sweet. You'll be saved. Just keep swimming. The person's out there drowning." It's not much help for them to tell them to just keep swimming, is it? And we can get caught with, "I'm struggling in sin," and someone's just going, "Just be holy. Just push away sin. You'll be right." And you just feel like you're drowning. Friends, the great news is the promise. Is the promise. "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Right? You have been transferred to the realm of Christ. You are His if you've put your faith in Him. Right? When you get married, you are united together as one. When you are married, you let the other person down. You do the wrong thing. You'll have fights. You'll have disagreements. Do you know what? You don't have to go and get married again. You are still married. That's one of the great things. You've got to keep working at it, because you keep getting selfish and keep doing things your own way, and you forget that you're united together as one. But you are still united together as one. We have been transferred into the realm of Christ, right? We live in that day and age. We will get sucked into sin, but we are still Christ Jesus's. We have been united with Him if we have put our faith in Him. We are under grace if we are in Christ Jesus. We have the great hope of the future to come. And our hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God is with us and helping us in that daily fight against sin. It is great news. It is great news. Let me finish with a quote from one of the commentators that I read. "To put a stop to the reign of sin, to stop engaging in those sins that have so too often become such a habit that we can't imagine not doing them, that is a daunting responsibility. We feel that we must fail. But Paul then reminds us of just what we have become in Jesus Christ: dead to sin, alive to God. There has already taken place in the life of the believer a change of lordship. And it is in the assurance of the continuing of that state that the believer can go forth boldly and confidently to wage war against sin." Which realm are you in? Are you in the realm of Christ by faith? Then you have a new life. You have died to sin. the realm of sin, not free from sinning. You'll continue to struggle with that as you wait for your resurrection. But you are in the realm of Christ. You have a new life. Fight against sin. If you're in the realm of Christ, you are in a new dominion. You will be raised with Christ. You will finally be free from sin on that day. Know the dominion that you're in. Look forward to the finale that awaits. It'll help us in that present struggle as we fight against sin. And if you're in Christ by faith, you live under a new Lord. You are united with the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep fighting, knowing what God has done for you in Him and what He will do for you in the future. The Christian's life is to be characterized by this conscious resistance to sin and a desire to serve God instead. Now, if those two things are not present in life, then maybe you haven't quite understood the power of the gospel for the salvation of all who believe. Now, please, if you're not sure which realm you're in, speak to Chris later on tonight or come and speak to me. Because we'd love to sit, nothing more that we'd like to do is to sit down and work through this question with you. Let me pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you're a loving and gracious God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who came and died in our place to rescue us from the life of sin and death in which we lived, to rescue us from the reign of Adam. Father, we thank you that by faith we can be welcomed into the reign of Christ, to the reign of grace, of life, of righteousness. Dear God, we live in this world and we still feel the impact of sin and the target of sin on our lives. By your Spirit, help us to fight against sin day by day. Help us to take our stand and use those weapons, the instruments of our body, for your glory as people living under the reign of Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.